Good evening. If you'll turn in your New Testaments this evening to John chapter 13. In just a moment, we will look at that passage of Scripture as Jesus speaks to His disciples on the eve of His crucifixion. And as you're turning there, we welcome you. We're glad that you're here. We have those back visiting from this morning, and we have those who are new this evening, and we're thankful that you have stopped in to be with us. I was visiting a congregation in Athens, Tennessee, this past Wednesday evening, and the elderly brother, when he led the closing prayer, mentioned something that I've never heard in my whole life. He said, "Lord, thank you for allowing us to be worthy enough for these visitors to be with us this evening." I've never heard it put that way, that we're worthy. So to our visitors, we hope that we're worthy that you can be with us this evening. When David was passing away, in our scripture reading, he told his son, Solomon, basically to be strong and keep God's word. What would you say to your friends and family if you were passing away and leaving them? What would your words be? What would you leave behind? This evening, in our lesson, I want us to consider the Lord's legacy. What did Jesus leave behind to His family, if you will, His disciples, when He left this earth? What did He say to them? What did He leave them? What lessons did He leave behind? What did He want them to do? What was His legacy? And as we look at this evening, we want to ask that question of us. What will our legacy be? What are you leaving your children right now? What are you leaving your family and friends and your spouse, your close relatives? What are you leaving them? David said, "We're going to go the way of all the earth." A euphemism for passing away or dying. Should the Lord not come in our lifetime, we're all going to go the way of all the earth. What are we going to leave behind? What will our legacy be? What will we be known for? I appreciate Seth leading the songs this evening about the soul. That's the most important part of us, and that's the part that we need to focus in on. Jesus left behind things that dealt with the soul, the most important relationship we have with God. I wondered how that hot pink would show up. That's how it shows up. Wasn't sure. You didn't never know until you tried. What would you leave behind? What would I leave behind? In John chapter 13 through John chapter 17, we have Jesus' final words before going to the cross. If you look at this particular section of Scripture, what you have is, in John chapter 13, Jesus and the disciples are in the upper room, the well-known upper room where they partake of the Passover. Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper and the washing of the disciples' feet, where Jesus girds Himself with a towel and washes their feet. This is in a room somewhere in Jerusalem. We don't know the exact location, and that doesn't matter. But we know what took place in that room and the important lessons that were taught there. And so in John chapter 13, we have this taking place in an upper room. If you look at the end of chapter 14 and read verse 31, Jesus says, "Arise, let us go from here." This is probably still the upper room. So chapter 13 and 14 are actions and words that take place in the upper room. And when that is over with, Jesus says, "Let us arise and go from here." And so starting in chapter 15 and 16, they're walking through town. They're going over toward the brook Kidron, and they're going to cross that and go up into the Mount of Olives, where Jesus is going to pray, and there He's going to be arrested and so forth. Now, there was a gate in Jerusalem that went over the brook Kidron and went up into the Mount of Olives, and it was in the northeast corner of town. And so they're walking toward the northeast corner of the city of Jerusalem. They're going to go out this gate and go down. And so look with me at chapter 18 and verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden. So this ends this section of Scripture. It starts in the upper room, John chapter 13 and 14. They're walking through town, John chapter 15 and 16. Probably Jesus stopped in chapter 17 and verse 1 to offer up a prayer to God. The text says in chapter 17 that lifting up his eyes into heaven. This is probably stopping for a moment to offer up this prayer. And then at some point, chapter 18 verse 1, they walk over the brook Kidron and into the Garden of Gethsemane. During this walk, Jesus has a heart-to-heart talk with his disciples on the eve of his death. He's going to leave his legacy with them. He's going to say several things. He's going to offer and give several things to them. And as we're going to see this evening, they all have to do with their relationship with one another and with God and with their soul. Notice a couple of examples of this. Jesus says, "I'm leaving." For example, in chapter 14 and verse 28, turn with me there. "You heard how I said unto you that I go away and I come unto you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go unto the Father." He's leaving. Look at chapter 16 and verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." Again in verse 28. "And because I'm leaving, because I'm going away, here is my opportunity to pass on my legacy to you." One day we're going to go away. Like our scripture reading, David said, we're going the way of all the earth. What are we going to leave behind for our posterity? What are we going to leave behind for our loved ones and our friends and our family? And even if we're by ourselves, just those around us, those that we come in contact with, what is our legacy going to be? Look at chapter 14 and verse 27. Jesus, knowing that he was leaving, wanted to give them some things. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you." I give unto you. He wanted to give them some things right here at the last moment. What will you and I be giving those around us? What did Jesus leave? And that's what we're going to see this evening. What was it that he gave them? What was it that he wanted them to have? Was it some money? Was Jesus collecting some money throughout the 3-year period of ministry? And every once in a while he would put some money in a bag. And he would just keep it off to the side. And right here toward the end, he had a bag of money. And he wanted to divide that among the disciples. He wanted them to have some funds for them. Is that what Jesus gave them? No. He didn't give them any money. Had Jesus bought a parcel of land outside of Jerusalem, and maybe there was a house on it where he could donate the land and the house to the disciples? Did he give them some property? What he gave them was much more important than that. And there's nothing wrong, of course, with leaving physical things behind for our family. But what is most important is leaving a legacy that makes them right with God, that encourages them to be saved and be right with God. That's what's important. Jesus knew that the disciples needed something because he was leaving them. Imagine being with Jesus for some 3+ years and then all of a sudden, he's going to be gone. And Jesus said, "I don't want to leave you desolate or as an orphan. I want to give some things to you." They didn't need money. They didn't need a piece of property. They needed so much more of a spiritual nature. And so what we're going to find this evening is that Jesus is going to leave behind a spiritual legacy, and that it is personal in nature. We're going to see this evening that the word "my" is often used. Jesus didn't go to the store at the last minute and buy a bunch of stuff and then say, "Here, disciples, I want to give you some stuff." He's pushing around a cart in the store and throwing things. I think my disciples would like this and I think my disciples would like that. What he gave them was himself. It came from himself. You know what our family really wants from us? They don't want our things, they want us. And what we're going to find here is that Jesus talks about, I give you my joy. I give you my peace. I give you my love. These are personal things. That's what loved ones really want and need, not something that we've bought at the store. And so what we're going to find, number one, is that they're spiritual in nature. Nothing involving any money or material things. And number two, they're personal in nature. And they are things that help us in our relationship with God. About 4 years ago, my mother passed away. And after the funeral service up in Ohio, we all went back over to my sister's house a few miles away. A lot of family there. And Dad had laid out on a countertop several items that belonged to my mother. Several personal items. And he invited the 8 children and their spouses or family to pick among those items anything that they wanted from their mother or their grandmother. And so we all went down the line. And I asked Dad, I said, can I have that fountain pen there? He said, sure. I said, Mom used to write letters a lot with that fountain pen. Even in the days when they had email in the 90s, they had AOL. And Mom and Dad were writing the emails. But Mom still wanted to write personal handwritten letters with that fountain pen. I said, can I have that pen? He said, sure. And then I picked up a few other items. Now listen, that was 4 years ago. I don't know where some of that stuff is. That's not what I'm keeping with me. I know where that pen is at home, but there's some other things that I picked up, and I guess they're in a box somewhere that we haven't even unpacked even after the move. I don't know where that stuff is. But you know what I carry with me every day? Not material things. I don't carry with me material things from my mother. What I carry with me are lessons and principles and examples. That's what counts. Her love for singing. She was kind and gentle. She was very hospitable. All the time, brethren were in our home and she was fixing meals for them, especially Hispanic brethren. That's what I carry with me. I don't know where some of those items are. Jesus wasn't giving them some physical things. He was giving them what they needed most. And I hope that we can learn this evening to give those same things. Let's look at them. Turn with me to John 13 and verse 1. What did Jesus leave behind? What was His legacy? Number one, He gave them divine love. In John 13 and verse 1, now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world. I'm going to leave, but what am I going to leave behind? To depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own that were in the world, the disciples, He loved them unto the end. Meaning all the way to going to the cross to save them. He gave them love. Can we do that? Can we do that in our home each and every day? The husband is to love his wife, Ephesians 5:25, as Christ loved the church. And in Titus 2 and verse 4, that the wife is to love her husband and to love the children. Can we have love in the home like we sing in our songbooks? That's what we need to be leaving behind each and every day. It's a sacrificial love. It's a giving love. And in verse 1 where He says, He loved them unto the end, literally meaning all the way to the uttermost, going all the way to the cross, which is going to happen in just a few hours from this statement. Sacrificial, caring, giving love. Thinking of others' love. It's to be among brethren. 1 Peter 2 and verse 17. Love the brotherhood. Loving one another. And that's challenging. And we might not feel like doing it in the home or with our brethren or even out in the community to love our neighbor as ourselves. Romans 13, 8 and 9. That's difficult sometimes with people at work and other kinds of people that are hard to get along with. But loving them as Christ loved, that's what we need to be giving. That's what our family needs the most. That's what people need the most. Let's be leaving a legacy of sacrificial love. There's nothing wrong with buying things for our families. We buy them things. And sometimes we buy them special kinds of things. But what they need the most are these things that Jesus is giving. He gave them what they needed the most. Can we give the legacy of love? Turn with me to John chapter 14 and verse 15. Let's talk about what kind of love this is. It's not just simply a word or a sugary sentiment. It's a love that shows itself in obedience and in following God's commands. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so it's a sacrificial love. It's an obedient love. In fact, several times Jesus makes it clear that loving me involves obedience. So there's a standard by which we must follow. And then number two, turn with me to John chapter 15 and verse 12. It is a love that unifies. It's the same love that was between the Father and the Son, a unity. This is my commandment, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Even as I have loved you. What did that involve? Sacrifice, teaching, sometimes correcting. Even as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do the things which I command. And then look at verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. Chapter 16 and verse 27. For the Father himself loved you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. It is a love that unifies the Father and the Son and the Son and the disciples. Look at chapter 17 and verse 23. It's a love that works to be unified. I in them, and thou in me, that's unity, that they may be perfected into one, that the world may know that thou didst send me and loved me even as thou lovest me. It's a unity working together, the Father and the Son. Let's leave a legacy of love. Jesus left some other things. Jesus left a divine example. Turn back with me to chapter 13 now, and let's come down to verse 15. We have the Passover meal and the institution of the Lord's Supper, and Jesus has washed the disciples' feet. And let's pick up the reading in chapter 13 and verse 12. So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and sat down again, he said unto them, know you not what I have done to you? Stop right there. Jesus is not asking, do you know what this physical act is? They knew what that was. They did it every day. Washing feet in the first century would be like brushing our teeth today. It's just something you do every day. When you walked into a home, there would be a basin of water and some towels, and it was just common to wash feet in that dusty, dirty environment of Palestine. They knew what that act was. He wasn't asking them, do you know what I just did to you? He's talking about, do you know the example that I'm setting and that servants are supposed to serve, and I want you to be like that? That's what he's asking. Verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, I am that. That's true. For so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do even as I have done unto you. Let's leave the legacy of a good example of service. That when we pass from this life, we have been known for someone who serves. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 7, when Paul speaks to Titus, he speaks to this very matter. And we live in a very selfish world. We live in a very self-centered and a me generation And we need to be thinking about how that we can serve others. And so Paul says, in all things, showing thyself an example of good works, in thy doctrine or thy teaching, uncorruptness. It has to be exactly like the truth teaches it. Gravity or seriousness, sound speech that cannot be condemned, and so forth. But show yourself an example of good works. Leave the legacy of an example. It's not popular. It's not fun sometimes. But the example of serving others. And think about Jesus girding himself with a towel and getting down there and doing something that is a menial, servitudinal type of task. Did one of those disciples have stinky feet? Did one of those disciples have a lot of dust and dirt on his feet? That's not a fun job. But he said, I want you to learn that even myself as a Lord and a teacher is down there doing that. We don't ever want to get in the church where we get to the point where I'm up here and I don't do that kind of stuff. We're always there. We're always down there serving and helping. That's the way of Christ. He left them that example of divine service. And we need that today. One of the greatest lessons that we can teach our young people and practice it ourselves is that of service. Can you help someone get to their car? Can you hold a door for someone? Can you help carry a bag for someone? Can you help bear someone's burden? Can you come up to someone and say, how can I help you? We need that. And leave that legacy for them. Turn with me to chapter 14, verses 1 and 3. 1 through 3, Jesus left them the legacy of hope. That there's a better place to go to. I'm going to my Father, and if you'll live right, you can go be there too. We need that today in this dark world that we live in. Chapter 14 and verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. I've picked out statements this evening where Jesus is saying, I'm doing something for you. I love you. I'm giving you an example. I'm preparing a place for you. This is His legacy. This is what He's leaving them. And this is a hope that they can go be in a prepared place. You've heard it before. I'm sure that heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And don't you want to go there? Give the hope of heaven to those around you. Speak of heaven. Talk of heaven. In our daily Bible readings at home, talk about obeying God's Word so that we can go to heaven. In our sermons, in our Bible classes, in our personal conversations, we want to go to heaven. And we have to have that one hope in front of us each and every day in a world that is constantly trying to tear down that goal. Look at chapter 17 and verse 24. Jesus is saying, I'm going to be with my Father, but if you'll live faithfully, you can come and be with the Father too. What a hope. Look at chapter 17 and verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which Thou hast given me. For Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I want them to be with me and you in heaven. What we need to leave those around us is that hope of heaven. Talking about it often. Having our minds set on it. Do we talk about things that we like? Do we talk about goals that we have? Do we talk about priorities that we have? Of course we do. If heaven is what we like, if it's our goal, if it's our priority, it'll be on our lips on a regular basis. And so Paul talks in Colossians 1 and verse 5 about that hope laid up for you in the heavens. Let's leave that to our children and our family and our friends. And even those who are outside the body of Christ, talk with them about, hey, come go with us. Come go to heaven with us. And maybe that would start the Bible study that we want to try to get. Or maybe that would start the invitation to our upcoming gospel meeting. Come go to heaven with us. That's a legacy that Jesus left them. He knew that they would be in troubled times. He knew that they were troubled right then. Let not your hearts be troubled. He knew that there would be difficult days ahead, but He put before them that hope of going and being in the Father's house where there are many mansions. And that's what we need to leave those around us. He prayed for them and told them to pray. Look with me at John chapter 14 and verse 13 and 14. He told them that He's going to be gone. But if they will pray, and if they will ask in His name, that the Father would grant those things. Pray, He says. He encourages them and leaves them the habit and the practice of prayer. Whatsoever you shall ask in My name, that will I do. What a promise. Wow, what a legacy. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in My name, that will I do. Wow. What encouragement. Pray. You know, one of the greatest gifts and legacies that we can give those around us is the gift of prayer and the habit and the practice of prayer. Not just some quick little thing that's offered up because of a have to. Not just something limited to meals, which is good, but a prayer life. My father sent out a short article a few weeks back, and he called it something along the lines of my threshold of prayer. And apparently, I never saw him do this. Sherry asked me, well, did you ever see your dad do this? And I don't remember that. But apparently, he gets between, he kneels down on the floor right there in the doorway of his bedroom, right there on the threshold, and he holds on to the side. I never saw him do that, but I've always heard him, like Jesus said, the vain repetition of the Gentiles. He was never the vain repetition. It was always heartfelt and genuine and for the moment and the need that was right there. I find myself sometimes repeating the same phrases. My father was always about a specific thing for a specific moment, never this memorized rote thing that we go through. And apparently he kneels between his bedroom door. A private thing between he and God. Give our loved ones around us that practice of prayer. And so pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Let's have a lifestyle, a culture, a habit of prayer throughout the day. It's not something that's limited to the church building. It's not something that's limited to a meal. But whenever we need that throughout the day, and that is often, let us give those around us that legacy that they need to do that. Teaching them by example the importance of prayer. Jesus left them with divine guidance. Turn with me to chapter 14 and verse 16. Just a verse or two after this matter of prayer. Jesus was leaving and He didn't want them to be without divine guidance. He didn't want them to flounder and wonder what truth was and wonder what right and wrong is and just, well, I guess we're going to have to make it up or we're going to have to find out what it is in the world. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit who's going to guide you into all the truth. He's going to take of mine and deliver it unto you. Jesus made sure that before He left, they had divine guidance. chapter 14 and verse 16, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you. What is Jesus giving? What is He leaving them? He will give you the Comforter, that He may be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. And there are several passages in chapter 15 and again in chapter 16 that talk about the Holy Spirit coming and guiding them into all the truth we're very familiar with. Chapter 16 and verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go, I will send Him unto you. And then he explains what the Holy Spirit is going to do with the world, and then with them, He's going to guide them into all the truth. Verse 13, howbeit when the Spirit of truth has come, He shall guide you into all the truth. Have you ever needed a guide? I have. You ever needed to be guided in any particular thing? Fixing something? Traveling somewhere? You ever need somebody to guide you, help you along the way? Who is there to help us in life? The Holy Spirit. And in the case of the apostles, He would do that directly with them and immediately with them. He would speak to them. We don't have that, but we have the written words of what the apostles wrote down. We have that same truth. And this is the greatest thing that we can give ourselves and those around us. The guidance from God's truthful Word. And so Timothy knew from a babe the sacred writings. His mother and grandmother were faithful. We know that. Lois and Eunice. We know that from a babe he learned the sacred Scriptures. And the greatest legacy that we can leave is making sure that our children and our loved ones know the Word of God. It's our guide. It's our guide. The word guide is used different times here in this section of Jesus' talk with them. He shall guide you. Today it's about feelings and it's about situations and it's about statistics and it's about laws. If the laws of the land say that such and such is right, then such and such is right. It's not about any of that. It's about what does the Holy Spirit say? How does He guide us? And that's why Bible-based sermons and classes and daily Bible reading and personal reading at home. Just read your Bible for personal guidance. That's why it's so important. Not just simply to get a workbook filled out. Not just simply to meet a quota or to check something off. We don't want to do things just simply to check it off. But because we need to know the way. Lord, show me, and I'm going to open up my New Testament and you're going to show me the way. What a great legacy. And then peace. Look at chapter 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be fearful. Jesus gave them peace in, He had just talked about you can go to heaven. He had just talked about how that you're going to have help from the Holy Spirit to guide you. My love. And He recognizes that there's going to be trouble. He recognizes that there's going to be tribulation. If you come down with me to chapter 15 and verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, a servant is not greater than his Lord. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. He's realistic. He says you're going to go out and there's going to be some problems. You're going to face some terrible times. We know, for example, that James was beheaded in Acts chapter 12. They faced some very difficult times. But you can have peace along the way that you can be right with God. You'll have the Holy Spirit to help you. Can we give others peace? As much as lieth within you, be at peace with all men. We live in a very angry world, a very antagonistic world, a fighting world. It's almost like, let's put up a fight at the drop of a hat. I'm going to punch you. I'm going to curse you out. I'm going to get back at you. Can we be a peacemaker? Can we give those around us that legacy of being a peaceful person? That doesn't mean we're a pushover. We don't stand for truth and things like that. But we're peacemakers. As much as lieth within you. And then Romans chapter 14, verse 9. Speaking of brethren, let us follow after things which make for peace. We're not going to say things to stir up a problem. We're not going to try to keep a problem going. We're not going to try to ignite it or fuel it or hope that we can get at something. We're going to work to make for peace. And we're also going to show in Philippians 4, verse 7, that in us we are at peace. There might be some problem at work. There might be some problem in society. We just recently had this hurricane go through and people are in turmoil. It could be a natural disaster. It could be other kinds of things. But we can have inward peace because we're right with God. We know that we have forgiveness of sins. We know that if we were to die, we're going to heaven. We just have that inward peace. We're in a world where so many people are in turmoil. They don't know how to have this. One of the greatest things that we can give those around us is peace. And Jesus gave them joy along this same line. Look at John chapter 15 and verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you that my joy may be in you. My joy, it's not something he went and bought at a store and gave it to him. These are personal things that he is giving them. And that, brethren, that's what those around us want. They want us. They want who we are, what we stand for, not something that we bought at a store. My joy, I want my joy to be in you. Jesus was happy. He was happy to serve his God. He was joyful. And he wanted them to have the same thing. Give joy to those around us. It's a fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22. It's the way we rejoice in the Lord. Are we happy to be a Christian? Are we happy to be here this evening? Are we happy to be a servant of the Lord and to come and worship and do the things that we need to do throughout the week? Are we happy? Give that to those around us. The opposite would be showing those around us how to not be at peace and not be happy. And they see that, well, Christianity must be a drudgery and Christianity must be a constant problem, and Christianity must be something, my mom and dad, they don't like it, or my grandparents, they don't like it. Why should I be a part of that? Jesus said, I'm happy to serve my Father, and I want you to have that same happiness. And he gave them encouragement. In chapter 13 and verse 17, he told them to go out and serve. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Talking about serving one another. He encouraged them in chapter 13 and verse 34 to go out and love one another. He encouraged them in chapter 15 and verse 8 to go out and bear fruit. This is how my Father is glorified, if you'll bear fruit. He gave them encouragement. You can go out and do these things. I'm about to leave. I don't want you all just sitting around moping in a room somewhere. I want you to get out and serve and be active. And they started that on the day of Pentecost and they kept it up all through the book of Acts. He also knew that there would be problems and trials. And so in chapter 16 and verse 33, be of good cheer. Let's leave the legacy of encouragement. Let's stir one another up to love and good works. Stir up one another to love and good works. Let's encourage each other. Let's be someone who's... Let's be a Barnabas. Let's be an encourager. Go out and love. Go out and serve. Go out and bear fruit. Be of good cheer. Jesus didn't say, well, good luck with this, guys. I'm going back to heaven. Good luck. He gave them the needed encouragement to keep being faithful. Let's give that to those around us. Let's give them God. Look at chapter 17, verses 6 through 8. I manifested, this is Jesus now, he may have stopped for a moment, and he's lifting up his eyes to heaven, and he's praying to his Father in chapter 17. I have manifested thy name, he's talking to God the Father, I've manifested thy name unto the men whom thou gavest me out of this world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them to me, and they have kept thy word. Now they know that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are from thee. For the words which thou hast given me, I have given unto them, and they received them, and knew of a truth that I came forth from thee, and they believed that thou didst send me. I gave them you. Give people God. Give your family God. Give your grandchildren God. They're not getting it from the atheist of the world. They're not getting it in public education. They're not getting it in secondary education, unless you go to a Christian school. They're not going to get it in those kinds of environments. They're not getting it in our communities. They're not getting it in the media and in music and in movies. They're not getting God there. There, God is poked fun of. He's belittled. He's made a joke. He's ignored. Give people God. Whether it's a direct conversation about how they need to have faith in God, whether it's reading God's Word, whether it's praying, whether it's being here and worshiping. Give people God. If we want to come to God, we must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And we've got to give people, those loved ones around us, the ability to believe that He is. And the only way we can do that is show it ourselves and then show them the evidence why there is a God. And give them God's Word. And talk with them about how that God has provided for us today. God's providence. Talk about that. God's Word. God's providence. God's blessings. Give people God. And then last of all, Jesus gave them the promise that He would pray for them. And if you stop and think about it, Jesus is about to leave and you're going to be by yourselves. You're going to have to face some very difficult things. But the last thing Jesus said I'm going to give you is, I'm going to pray for you. You got Jesus on your side. Look at chapter 17 and verse 9. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for those whom thou hast given me, for they are thine. The same in chapter 17, verse 11. Again in chapter 17 and verse 15. I'm praying for you. He gave them the gift of intercessory prayer. One of the greatest things that you can give those around you, they might not even know that you're giving it to them, and that is that you pray for them. Pray for your children when they're away at school. I've done that more in the last few years than I did when they were real little. I guess I've gotten more sentimental. Some of them are moving out. They're leaving. And I pray, Lord, please watch over my family while they're away from us. Pray for others. They may not even know that you're doing that, but that's one of the greatest things you can give them. Paul talks about in Colossians 1 and verse 9 that we constantly make requests for you. And we offer up intercessions for all men. 1 Timothy 2, 1. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your children. Pray for your parents. Pray for your neighbor who needs to obey the gospel, and the co-worker, or the family member that has maybe fallen away and not living right, the prodigal son, the prodigal daughter. Pray for them. It's one of the greatest things that you can give them. And so they're about to leave, and Jesus says, I'm praying for you. What a comfort and a consolation that would be to them. Well, we're going to stand and sing this song of invitation, Soul of Savior, Thou art needing. What will you leave behind? What will I leave behind? Let's let this be our legacy. Let Jesus' legacy be our legacy. He didn't give them any money. He didn't give them any property. He didn't give them the keys to a new chariot. He gave them what they needed to be right with God. One day we're going to pass and leave. And hopefully, like Jesus, we're going to go to our Father. Let's make sure that each day we're giving those around us these important things that we need and they need to be right with God. If we can encourage you to come and be baptized into Christ, if we can encourage you as an erring child to come back in some way, if we can encourage you to keep living faithfully as you are this day, I would encourage that as we close. We're all going to leave something. Let's leave that which matters most. If we can encourage you to come, why won't you, as we stand and as we sing.